G'day, ballers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, or this week, the Monday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haasbeens, and with me to talk about all the big news, and there's plenty of it coming out of round seven, is the coach of Tubes' Pods. Tubes, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Jono. I'd put in a suggestion to call it Monday's Meat and Potatoes, but geez, the weekend was anything but meat and potatoes. Plenty of injuries, plenty of interesting games of footy, topped off with a pretty exciting one Monday afternoon for Easter Monday.
Oh, it's such a fun game to watch as like a not a Tigers fan, not an Eels fan, only owned one player in the match, and just such a great game of footy to watch. It was awesome. What did you make of it, Tubes? There was a few talking points coming into that game around the Tigers and their new halves combination. Any big takeaways from you out of the last game of the weekend?
Not really. I think it was just two pretty non-relevant Supercoach sides going at it, like Tyrrell May. but I think Tyrrell May is the obvious one. But I think basically I stick by not going anywhere near Parramatta plays for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Well, how did you fare this weekend? You said it was a pretty crazy weekend. How did the Tubes Pods actually fare?
Not great. I'd say I'm below par. I had 12.07. Just a few sort of slight things going against. I had, which we'll get into, but I had Max Platt's 15, which he dropped out. Captain Pappenhausen for his 78, which was sort of on the lower end. And then didn't own Greg Marju, which was probably, you know, the big difference in the centre wing.
Yeah, it was. It did make a big difference. Like, that's pretty much ended up being the difference between your scores and mine, basically, was that play. I ended up on a 12.55, so I think around par, which looks to be about 12.50 or so. But, Tubes, even if your Supercoach team went a little bit under par this week, at least you're looking over par personally tonight. It's the Sunday Snap. You're looking snappy. You got a little suit jacket on. Pre-pod, when we were doing our preamble, you were comparing yourself to George Clooney at one stage. You're looking good. Sunday snappy.
I was saying my hair was looking dark. That was it. That's as close as I can get to George Clooney. Now, Jono, I'm just going to just put this out there.
Yes?
Don't make me send a legal letter to the Ballers about bullying, because I will. One comment on social media and I will be sending a legal letter. And getting you stood down from the club.
Who? What are you referencing, Tubes?
Just the other interesting developments over the weekend from the West Tigers. Lachie Galvin stood down, played for West Magpies, and then, yeah, apparently there's some legal letters going out. So, yeah, some interesting couple of weeks ahead, I think, in Tigerland.
Well, Tubes, I take it all back. No more bullying from me. I think your George Clooney comparisons were fair and justified. You look great. All right, let's get into a few plugs before we unpack the meat and potatoes from the weekend. First of all, Unlimited League. Join the SC Ballers Unlimited League. There are $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. League code is 730444. That's 730444, and there is still time to join in. So if you're a super coach going really well, make sure you jump in there for your chance to get yourself some of that cash. Tubes, the SC Baller, baller.live, the website, has now been up, open to the public for a few weeks. No major new developments this week. One thing that was notable was that the minutes feature was a little bit more refined in terms of how it looks on the website. Instead of the whole players being highlighted, just the actual minutes were green for when a player was in the field, red for when they're off. Looks nice and slick. But Tubes, I believe there's a bit coming soon around some predictive features on Baller. Anything you can tell us about that?
Not really. I don't think anything's coming in the next few weeks, but hopefully the next 4 to 6, few development sprints to go on, Jono, for those product managers out there, like yourself. I think that there's a few things that need to be done, and I think there might be there'll definitely be more releases coming in the season, but I don't think anything in the next week or so.
All right, nice. Well, Tubes, normally our first segment of the show is the Rage Trade section, but we have renamed it for this week after the weekend that was. We're calling it Carnage Corner.
Are you little?
And I think the the little sound effect we chuck in there still fits perfectly for Carnage Corner this week. Do you want to get into Tubes? This was your idea to rename Rage Trade just for this week. Why do you want to get into this?
I just think there's going to be a lot of super coaches in pain out there. Like, we can't talk about rage trading anyone because the only people to trade are injured people that are out. Like, on average, it seems sort of 4 to 6 weeks. It seems to be the average. So, thankfully, you and I own, I think, 3 or 4 of those. So earlier in the weekend, it was Grant. That was early that he was out.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, some people might have gone Grant to Max Plath. And then Max Plath only lasted 15 minutes for 15 points. And then he's now gone. Was that confirmed yet? I think it was. Five weeks minimum or something like that.
Yeah, looks to be longer term. 6 to 8, I think I read.
6 to 8, yeah. And then Fifita was a withdrawal, obviously, before the start of the weekend, but I think his hamstring is now confirmed out for a month.
Yep.
Then Jaden Campbell gone 4 to 5 weeks minimum, and then Walsh 4 to 6 weeks gone. And who else am I missing?
Jack Howarth for the Storm, who was well owned. He I think, what? Has dislocated shoulder. So he's gone for a while, and Lockie Hubner, who's in nearly 40% of Supercoach teams for Souths, he had 20 points in 20 minutes and got one of those. Just the second the tackle was made, it was clear that it was going to be a Cat 1 concussion, and he'll be gone for next week. But at least he's not a long-term one. Of all these ones you mentioned in Tubes, he's the only one who's going to be just like a week and then back into it.
Yeah, so I think you and I own Plath, Walsh, and Jaden Campbell.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't think there's much point doing a rage trade because I'll be trading those players, unfortunately, through gritted teeth this week or over the next couple of weeks. I'm thinking I'll probably be going Jaden Campbell and Reece Walsh out next week and getting my man Scotty Drinkwater coming in off the bye just in time for the Origin run.
It's tough, Tubes, because – Walsh is easy to trade because there's so many fullback options. And I don't want to step too much on the toes of the Tuesday show because I'm sure they'll go into all this stuff in depth. But guys like Jaden Campbell, Max Plath, and Harry Grant, for people who own him as well at hooker, there is just no options at hooker. Like, the best one is Connor Watson. He's the clear best option at hooker. But he has a bye in round 10 in 2 more weeks, and then he's going to be playing Origin. And that's it. There's no one else who's good at the spot who's playing 80 minutes and looks good week in, week out. There's no real cheapies who are clear slam dunk options on the radar. And then same thing for Jaden Campbell. Like, at 5'8", the position's dire. I'm looking down. There's no one I really want to bring in.
No, it's going to be a challenge. I'm thinking of nothing, Plath. Like, that's how dire it seems to be, and just playing Sand and Smith and using the cash elsewhere. For those that are lucky enough to still own a jewel in some way, shape, or form, I own Brimson, so I can trade Jaden Campbell to a center wing. So that's pretty much a must do for me. Like, it's nice to be able to bring in a center wing gun. But yeah, like you said, they'll probably talk about it on the Tuesday show. But I wouldn't be rushing to sell Jaden Campbell. Like, unless, like, there's, as you say, there's no obvious one. It might be worth a hold. And see how it goes if he's back in 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's really, really tough. But look, we'll unpack a little bit more of it and talk about some of the other options as we go through the game reviews. And let's get into our first game review, Tubes. It feels like a long time ago now. Thursday night feels like forever ago. The Seagulls versus the Dragons at Four Pines. And didn't you start the Supercoach round in fine form? You made a trade about 5 minutes before kickoff. You were still umming and ahhing over this trade. Thankfully, I thought it was one of your good last-minute ones. You had the full support from me. I was hyping you up on it. You got Lehi Hopewade. How'd he go?
He looked unbelievable. Like, his base was through the roof. He just needed some attacking stats. I think he was on 34 or 36 at halftime.
36, yeah.
Just basically, just all base.
Basically.
I felt like the attack started to be a bit more set up through him. at fullback. So it was nice the way he played, and then he just burnt Lachie Ilias to set up that try assist, and he's ended up with, I can't remember, 87 after updates or down dates slightly for him. But the main reason I thought he's a good option, and I think he is an option for people going forward, is we just sort of did the numbers. They have a ridiculously good buy schedule, Manly, and assuming even if Turbo's back by then, it'll be likely he'll be playing Origin, so Lehigh will be playing fullback in those games. And then even when I wouldn't assume Turbo will be backing up from Origin, so Lehigh will then get some of those mini buy rounds as well at fullback. So I basically brought him in this week. It was nice to see him kick off with an 87, but I brought him in as a premium centre wing over the bye period, effectively.
Yeah, and look, with everything you said, you made a really good case for him off air to me on Thursday night. And again, you've put those details in there. I mean, one thing as well, he just looks like such a good player. Like, he passes the eye test. He looks like a really good young player. His break-even's manageable. It's still going to be in the mid-60s, and he's only going up 15K this week. So he might still be a lead buy Hopewade for people interested. I think he's still a really good little pot option at only 6%. While we're sticking with Manly Tubes, what do you make of Ruben Garrick? He had a 39. He is going to drop down to around 710K, and he's going to have a break-even up over 100. But he does play all three major buy rounds. What are you thinking when it comes to Rubes?
I think you have to get him. It's just about when. They play the Panthers this week, which could be good, could be bad. Wait and see. But depending how he goes this week, they've then got the buy round 9, Sharks round 10. I think you have to have him before round 11 and certainly before round 12, basically going into that buy period. They play Parramatta in the first Origin bye round. So I think he'll be in 95% of teams, or, you know, of I suppose top 5, top 10% teams at that point.
Yeah, completely agree. And that's worth noting, that's a Parramatta without Mitchie Moses, because they looked a different side today with Mitch. But round 12, he's almost definitely going to be playing Origin, you'd imagine. So it's a Mitchie-less Eels. All right, let's get on to the Dragons from that same game, who overall looked really, really good, I would say. And we may as well start with Egan Tubes, who was brought in by another 26,000 super coaches this week. He ended up with 49 all in base, and I say all in base, no power stats, no offloads, no tackle bust. That was purely basic from tackles and a few hit-ups. He's going to have still a negative 25 break-even after making nearly 90K this week. He had a little spell, but he ended up playing 72 minutes and was brought back on to close the game when things got pretty tight. I mean, obviously, if you don't own Egan, you're not going to be buying him next week. This was the week to do it. But how did you feel about him as a playable option, Tubes? Did the game on the weekend change your thoughts about him being a potential keeper, really highable, playable option?
Well, he's ended up with 49, and as you said, all base. It was a bit of a strange game from him. I still think he is a playable option. It was interesting. He went off with, 15 to go? And it sort of seemed to be like, oh, yeah, that's it. He's done. And then it was like, yeah. Oh, no, hold on. The game's still in the balance. Let's bring him back on 7 minutes later. I don't think it was injury affected or anything. He just came back on. So I think we saw last week that he has got a bit of attack in him. We've seen before that he has got an offload and a tackle bust. So I think he played well. Was he up against Ola Kawatu? Was he the one shutting down Big Ola? Ola had, no surprise, Big Ola had his worst game of the season against the Fiery Redhead from Gerringong.
Did we figure out he is from Gerringong? You said the Couchman boys are from Gerringong, and they weren't. I think we found out.
No, they're from Thirroul. Okay. Yeah.
So it's him and Hamish Macbeth of the Gerringong boys, the Couchmans, and that leads us beautifully into Couchy, Toby Couchman. 91 points in 66 minutes. He made 50 tackles. He's going up another 60K, so he's now going to be north of 600K now. His break-even is 19. How good does Couchman look?
Yeah. Well, and how good does his minutes look? 66 minutes. Like, I know he's had 91. That included a line break, one line break. That was it from an attacking stats point of view.
So 80 in base plus power.
he could be, if he's getting that those minutes, it's pretty dire in the second row at the moment. Like, he easily could be a premium second row forward that you probably want over that bye schedule. I think it's too early for him to play Origin.
Feels like it. I there's mean, other good options there.
Yeah, he'll play Origin in the next few years, you would think. But, yeah, I don't know. You've got to have a look at him. He looked fantastic again. He's looked great all year, really.
Yeah, and it's kind of been in spot. His minutes have been a little bit up and down. Like, he played 51 only last week, and he's had two games where he's played 70, one week where he was in the 40s, one week in the 60s. So there hasn't really been a consistent front row rotation from the Dragons yet, but he's scoring well no matter what minutes he gets. He looks so good. So I'd love to own him. I don't think I'm going to be bringing him in, but well done to the 4% of super coaches who do have him. Chiz, what do you make of King Gutho? You've had a bit of a hot and cold relationship with Gutho. Hot in previous years, hot and heavy in previous years, but this year you didn't jump on with the 24% of super coaches who got onto Gutho. He had 57 on the weekend with a try assist. He's only losing 6K this week, but now a decision is going to need to be made because he's going to have a break even of over 130.
I thought, interestingly, the last two Dragons games, NRL-wise, has been their best performances. And, I mean, obviously the one against Melbourne was a gritty win defensively, but attacking-wise, they haven't been as reliant on Gutho being a one-man show the last couple of weeks, and their attacks looked all the better for it. And that's not a dig at Gutho. I think he's playing unbelievable football. I just think that it's allowed them to open up a little bit more. Their run coming up is still so good, though. I'd be hard pressed to sell if I owned Gutho, but it does seem like there's been a tweak the last couple of weeks, which means that he's basically not setting up or scoring every single one of their tries.
It's pretty funny, Tubes. Like, they've now won three out of their six games, and you mentioned about his scoring. Their three losses, he's gone 100 plus in every single one, and their three wins, he's gone 47, 54, 57. So it is interesting that, like, it seems like when they're playing as a bit more of a whole team, full structured, using Gutho a little bit more, running decoys, they're going better. So it is one to watch.
Valentine Holmes looked unbelievable again. Like, basically, it's the halves getting him early ball a little bit more as well. I just think that he's not an option now so close to Origin, and he'll be on the Queensland wing. But he's looking, you know, fully fit and firing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get on to the next game. It's the Good Friday clash between the Bulldogs and the Rabbitohs. Dogs just look so good. They look unbelievable. Like, I think people expected them to be a top four-ish side this year, or there and thereabouts. I don't think anyone thought they were going to look this good. And as we said on previous episodes of The Snap, that as good as they're going, there hasn't been a lot of super coach relevance in them. I think now with a few players returning from injury, they are starting to look pretty super coach relevant. So we got Jacob Preston, who had an 87 on the weekend. We had Jacob Kiraz, who had 84. Connor Tracy had an 80. Matty Burton had a 65. What do you want to – who are the main players you'd like to discuss coming out of that game, Chiz, from a Dogs perspective?
I think Preston looked very good on the right. Like, I think everyone was a bit worried about them going back, him coming back from the left with Kickout back, but it felt like they were still going right. They just dominated South through the middle. Like, it felt like they weren't even really spreading the ball out to their wings because they just kept punching through the middle and punching then on the slight edges. But I think Preston, off the back of this Dog's momentum, and I know Hudson Young has looked good for the Raiders, which we'll talk about, but I think Preston's got to be pretty close to getting an Origin spot off the bench or thereabouts. So I'm a bit wary of potentially bringing him in now. Like, it just almost his form's too good.
With Presto, you mean?
Yeah.
I think he's a big Origin chance too. Like, it is, yeah, you're right. It's nerve-wracking. I'm a little bit more worried about him being on the right than you are. I thought in their I thought in a lot of their set structure close to the line, they looked to be going left more than they were right, which is normal for most NRL sides. But he's just such a good player that I don't think it'll matter too much. I just don't think he'll be getting as many tries, even though he had one on the weekend. I wouldn't be relying on them for him. Tubes, what about, we mentioned why he moved to the right was Billy Kickow. You brought in Billy Kicks as a little pod this week. I called you Icarus. You flew too close to the sun. You loved what you saw at a Lehigh. You thought, I'm hot this weekend. Billy Kicks came in. Were you happy with his first week as an owner?
I can't say I was ecstatic. Like, he had 49. But I thought he looked good. He got through the 80 minutes, which I was happy with. Like, that was a bit of a concern. He was, you know, who was it that came up with it? Jack Whiten had to come up with an unbelievable tackle to stop him 1 meter out. And similar to Lehigh, maybe I have started biplaning a little bit early this season, but that Bulldogs run through the Origin period, they play 12, they play 15, they play 17, 18, 19. So I just think that Kickow is one of those players that won't play Origin. And he's got those big scores in him. So when you're only getting your best 13 during the Origin round, I sort of look in for those upside players that aren't quite at that super gun level. And I thought Billy Kicks is a bit of a throw at the stumps.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. But a couple of their centre wings are interesting to me because of that great run you said coming up. And they delivered over the weekend. Jacob Keita has over 8,000 super coaches brought him in on the weekend, and he rewarded them with an 84. He had 28 points in power stats, plus he had a try assist. He's 703K. His BE is manageable. It's going to be around 70 it's going to fall to after this week. Jeez, I know you also brought in Jacob Kiertos, and I think you're going to be pretty happy about that. Where do you have him in terms of being a must-buy for next week for super coaches?
I don't think he's a must-buy for next week, but I think the sooner you get him in, the better. Like, it's not like a big break-even must-get-him-in. They have the Broncos next week. So is it the Broncos? Yeah, so not the most simple of games. But as you just said, he had a try assist and he had a line break assist from an offload, but that was it from his attacking stats perspective. No line breaks, no tries, and he's busted out an 84. So he's one of those players that basically if he does score a try with a line break, he's going 90-plus most weeks.
Which is not something you can say about every centre wing, is it?
No. And he looks fully fit. I think that was the other concern people had about coming off his injury. He looked back to his tackle breaking, offloading best. So I think he's a must-have in terms of everyone should have him in their set as one of their premium centre wings. And they should have him over the bye period. But, yeah, that can happen over the next few weeks, I think.
Well, Connor Tracy, who is available at centre wing, but he's playing fullback for the Dogs, I don't think he's in that must-have territory. He had an 80 on the weekend. He is dual centre wing fullback. You can get him under 600K. He's no danger of making any rep sides. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Connor Tracy. I don't think he's a must-have, but I think he's a great pot option.
Yeah, I think you made the joke because I'm considering him too. Like, it's going from Tubes as Titans to Tubes as Dogs, my Supercoach team, and quickly. Could be by round 12, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you, he won't be bringing in as many Rabbitohs at this stage. And I have nothing I even want to discuss about them. I thought they have no relevance in Supercoach at the moment outside of Lachie Hubner, who we already spoke about at the top of the show. Is there anything about South at all that you want to discuss?
Would you say that you were disgusted by their performance on Friday?
I wasn't. They tried so hard and they tackled really well. The Dogs are just too good. Like, it's one of those weird ones where your team gets smacked and you walk away going like, yeah, they tried pretty hard today. But, yeah, okay, good. I'm actually happy I didn't talk about it, so I appreciate the pun. Let's go to the Dolphins versus Storm. Easily the biggest upset of the round. The Dolphins absolutely pounded them. I think it was the first time in Storm's history they've had 40 straight points put on them in a row or something like that, I read. So pretty incredible. And Isaiah Katoa was the man kind of behind it all. He had a 98. After this round, he's going to have gone up 170K for the year. He was available in the 300s tubes to start the year, and he just looks unbelievable. We've spoken about him on the snap a fair bit and said about how he might be making the leap. It looks more and more like it, hey?
Like, he's... he basically just looks like a premium halfback all of a sudden. And even when they were not playing well earlier in the year, like, he still looked good. He was probably one of their shining lights coming through, which isn't a usual for a halfback in well-beaten sides. But, yeah, he looks like he's just really controlling their team, and like, he just he's one of those players that gets so close to the line when he throws people and puts people through a hole or throws it out the back, and he really just sets up their structure so well. It's still just a hard bring-in for Supercoach, isn't it, because he's only available in halfback.
It's tough. I think if Jermaine Asako ever goes down, because Icat's a goal kicker too, but he just has never had the chance at an NRL level because of Asako. If Asako was to go down at some stage, he'd be a pretty good pot option because he'd probably be adding another 15, 16 points to his average. But, yeah, they look like they're clicking, and he's a big part of it. Herbie Farmworth, Tubes, he also looks like he's starting to click. He's another one we've spoken a bit about on the Snap this year as a pot option. He had 98 points with a try on the weekend. And like you said, that Dolphins attack is starting to click. So his attacking stats are actually now starting to come up and in line with. He's always had that awesome base plus power. It's the best of any centre winger in Supercoach. But the attack the last couple of weeks is starting to come his way too.
Yeah, what's their bye schedule like? It's not too bad, is it? Like, he's, I'd say that they play round 12 as well and round 15. So the first two sort of major buys, I'd say he's close to a must-have territory as well. Like, that'll be an interesting choice for non-owners of both Carraz and Herbie over the next couple of weeks, wanting to get making the choice between those.
And they're near identical price too.
Yeah, I'll have a good look at Dreamboat this week.
He could be your Jaden Campbell replacement.
He did. He looked great. He's looked good all year, like we've said, I think, it's just about whether or not the Dolphins are scoring points. And I think they proved on Friday night that they can score points.
Oh, absolutely. They can score them quickly. Well, moving on to the Storm, I mean, from the Dolphins, we already spoke about Maxi Plath and his injury. From the Storm, we spoke about Harry Grant already. What about Ryan Papenhuyzen and Tubbs? He was the most popular captain of the round, 21% of super coaches captained him. He busted out a 78, but I think for those of you who had the C on him, which I know included YouTubes, you're probably disappointed almost. He looked set for another big 100-plus score early. He had a try, the Storm were on top. He was looking like it was going to be huge.
When he scored a try and they were winning 16-0, I think he was on 50-odd at that stage. I was certainly up and about. I still think he had a good game. Like, yeah. It was just the Dolphins just dominated. Like, and that's not going to happen very often. Like, he looked good. I think he'll keep looking good, and I think I'll probably be looking to captain him next week. Like, he's a captaincy option every round, basically.
Yeah, and nothing on the weekend gave any doubt about that at all, did it?
No.
So I agree. Chiefs, another one who I thought looked good from an actual rugby league perspective but didn't quite translate to Supercoach points was Eli Katoa, who had easily his worst score of the year with a 37. He's now going to lose 26K. His break-even's going to be up over 100. Does that – I know you're really keen to get him in, which I think all super coaches should be if they're not one of the 20% who already own him. Does that score on the weekend make you have that little pause of, all right, let's wait a couple of weeks and see if he can drop in some cash, or do you still think he's a big priority bring-in because he's just so much better than nearly every other second row forward?
I think he is, depending on your team, but I won't be – like I've said before, I've got now the priority of Jaden Campbell, Max Plath, Reece Walsh – and none of them currently sit in my second row forward. So it for me, it's quite nice. I can wait a few weeks, as you said. I think if you had been planning to bring in a gun second row forward and he was your target, I'd still just be jumping on him next week and not be worrying about it. He'll be ending the year well over, you know, whatever he's going to be, 730, 740K this weekend.
Yeah, completely agree. I think injury aside, that's going to end up being his worst score of the year. So I think he's absolutely still an Eli Kagawa for next week if you don't have too many injury problems to worry about. On to the next game. The Warriors versus the Broncos. The Warriors got the win. It was a bit of a weird game after Reece Walsh kicked the ball dead on the full in one of the most anticlimactic golden points of all time. There's not that much Supercoach relevance out of the Warriors. Lukey Metcalf, a.k.a. Fluky Metcalf, had 56 with a try and assist. He actually ended up with 0 points from conversions because he had such a bad night with the boot, except for the one in Golden Point, the most important one of all. One guy, Tubes, well, there's a couple of guys, one of them who will come up in a later segment who I know you're going to put a bit of work into. But from the forward pack, Mitchie Barnett's a little bit interesting. His minutes are back now with Fish out. So he had 61 minutes last week, 60 minutes this week. He's actually dropped nearly 100K. He was almost going to be my ready-to-explode player for this week, but I just worry about him with Origin on the horizon. He came into the Origin squad last year, looked all right, and hasn't looked too bad NRL-wise. But if I found out he was out of Origin, if he gets dropped from the team for some reason this year, he's one who'll come onto my radar.
Yeah. I mean, but where he got his big points last year, he was playing close to 80 minutes, wasn't he? Like, he's still only hovering around that 60 mark. I just think he's not going to hit those premium levels that we saw from him last year without the minutes.
Yep, fair call. Well, on to the Broncos then, because there is definitely some Supercoach relevance in the Broncos. I mean, Payne Haas just did, he's pretty boring to talk about. He got 85 points in 61 minutes. Did the thing again, like he does every week. He's just unbeatable. Reece Walsh, we've mentioned, he ended up with a 49 after a try and a try assist, but he's done his PCL, so he's now going to be gone for 5 to 6 weeks. A couple of well-sold centre wings, Gamat Shibasaki, a.k.a. Young GI, and Jesse Arthur's Tubes. What do you want to say about those guys?
Oh, just Young GI looked, I think he was almost one of the Broncos' best players, certainly their best outside back. He got 51 in the end, or
55.
Anyway, 55, and that was pretty much in all base plus power. No attacking stats there. I know he's going to drop a little bit in price. I think he was 520. He's going to drop slightly. But I still think I'm thinking of holding him for the long term. He might be in my end of year side. He's looking that good in the top six or seven premium center wings. Jesse Arthur's scored a try to sort of save the game for himself with owners and save it for Reece Walsh owners as well, thankfully. So he can finish, but, yeah, that base, it's, apart from the anomaly where he got 37 in 1 week, like it's gone. And I think they'll be, if anyone didn't sell this week, they'll be looking to jump off next week before the Bulldogs game.
Yeah, with the benefit of hindsight, it certainly looks like Jesse was the one to sell out of those two if you were going to sell one this week. Like you said, Shibba's only going to lose 15K. His break-even's now going to settle down into the 40s, which he's kind of doing each week in base plus power. If he can jag a try, even more. Whereas, yeah, Jesse Arthur's only 11,000 sold him in the end, and I can't do it anymore. He's gone for me next week, and I can't wait to sell him. I've actually been looking forward to selling Jesse since bringing in Jesse. I've been looking forward to selling him. So I think next week is going to be the week for a lot of super coaches, and he is 38% owned. I think that'll plummet next week. Tubes, let's get on to our favourite segment of the show. It is time to see who is ready to explode. Who's your option for this week, Tubes?
We just didn't talk about him in the Warriors game, and it's the second big young second row forward from the Warriors, Lika Halasima. I think we've talked about him before. He's only 19, and he's a huge ball-running second row forward. He scored this try against the Tigers a few weeks ago where he basically just went almost 80 metres to score. And then on the weekend, he's started. I think it's James Fisher-Harris is out, so Jackson Ford has moved up into prop. Leaker's gotten his chance to start at second row. He's busted out 72 in 69 minutes. Now, that did include a try, but I think, honestly, if he's going to be playing 70 minutes, I'd say he's in for a try every couple of games, the way he runs the football. Like, he's almost unstoppable. I also just think that the big thing is him playing 70-odd minutes. So he's a bit of a freak footballer. He's what is he? He's going up 60K, so still available under 400K with a break even of zero. I'm not sure how long Fisher-Harris is out for, but if any extended period of time, he's a must buy. And even if only for a few more weeks, I'd still consider bringing him in because he might just, you know, hold on to the spot. Capewell, Niokora, like I don't think that they've got a mortgage on the back row spot the way the Warriors have been playing.
Yeah, and throwing Jackson Ford as well, Tubes, he's been playing a bit of back row. I don't think any of them do. Big chance that if he plays well enough, he can hold that spot and make it his own. And he could be one of these guys, like what people mentioned with Sia Wong a few weeks ago. This could be a guy who is a potential keeper who you're picking up for 400K. If I didn't have so many fires to put out this week, Tubes, I'd be taking a much bigger look at Lika Halasima because he looks like an absolute freak of a football player. I love you're ready to explode this week. Well done, Tubes. Big on that one.
Mm. You were giving me lots of nods, which I don't normally get in my ready to explode segment. So
no, because traditionally ready to explode is we both strongly disagree with the other person, basically. And Tubes, maybe that'll be me this week. My ready-to-explode player is Nicho Hynes, and people might be wondering, how can he be a ready-to-explode player? His form has been a little bit down this year. He's coming off a 65. He's lost nearly 100K, and he's actually only in about 18% of Supercoach teams, which for Nicho Hynes is so low. But I think now is the time to bring him in. If you're one of the 82% who don't own him, I think your time is now. I've done a little bit of a deep dive, Tubes, on Nicho and some of his touches, so I really liked what I saw from him from an eye test perspective this week. He was playing across both the right and the left, which recently for the Sharks, he's just been parked on one side. This week, he had 79 touches to Trindle's 50. So this is the first time all year where he has clearly been the dominant man. There have been games where he's had more touches than Trindle previously, but it had always been close. This week, he had nearly 30 more touches than Trindle. Last week, he had 67 touches. But 79 is his most for the year. Before last week, he hadn't been above 60 and most had been in the low 50s for his touches per game. So clearly the last couple of weeks, there's been a change that the Sharks are intentionally doing when Nicho's getting more ball than Trindle. I thought his passing looked incredibly crisp. He nearly put both Wilton and Nicho over at different points of the game. And I just think we're going to start to get back to the Nicho that we've seen in previous years. And I think it's the right time to jump on for non-owners. Is that good or bad?
That was my explosion. Yeah, that was just me saying, well done. That was me trying to simulate the explosion. That was good. I liked it. If I was a non-Nicho owner, I'd be running out and trying to buy him right now. I didn't see enough of the Sharks game on the weekend.
Yeah, you're in transit, weren't you?
Easter travel duties. But everything you've said there, I like the sound of for Supercoach. I like the sound of it for the Sharks. The more Nicho touches the ball, I think the better.
Yep, and no surprise that their attack was clicking really nicely on the weekend. All right, into the second half of the game wrap-up for the weekend. We're going into now the Roosters versus the Panthers. Dylan Edwards is a starting point, Tubes. He had 140. Unfortunately, Origin's coming up, so he's just not an option, is he?
No, like he looked good. There's plenty of fullbacks that aren't looking good. But yeah, with Origin coming back up, I almost think that in a way there was some whispers going like, will Teddy get the Origin jersey back versus Edwards? He came out with a point to prove, and geez, he proved it.
Oh, massively. And so did Nathan Cleary. He had his most well-balanced game of the year, I thought, in terms of how he controlled their attack. They looked much calmer. He had 116. He was the third most popular captain of the round. And crazily enough, 116 with only one try assist. That's ridiculous. He's just so good at taking runs. Obviously, he goal kicks. He's a great defender as a halfback. To get 116 with one try assist is incredible.
Yeah, it just goes to show, like, basically if the Panthers can get back, not even to their best, but just get back to being sort of that top four type side that we know that they are, he just becomes that captaincy option every week. Like, he's just so dominant. He could have easily set up two or three tries on the weekend. And suddenly he's had 160, 170 type game.
Yeah. What about your boy, Tommy Jenkins Tubes? He had only 38 points on the weekend. His base plus power has really cooled the last few weeks. It started off in the 50s. It's coming back down to being in those 30s now. I don't know if that's a case of he's no longer trying to prove himself and like get into grade and hold a position. So maybe he's not kind of putting in those extra effort areas. He just doesn't look like getting a try. He made another 20K this week, but his break-even's now in the high 40s. Bloke's returning from injury soon. How are you feeling about Jenka?
He's one of those ones where I think you have to hold him through the origin period. The frustrating thing for him is you're just tempted to play him every week. Like I played him on the weekend, like, and it was a bit of a late call. You just know he's going to have that upside being in that Panthers side. You're just going to be tempted to play him every single week. Like he's a good cheap fifth or sixth center wing option to continue to hold, especially with their bye schedule. And you know he'll play the byes with even if Toto's back by then, he'll be playing Origin, etc. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a few more him getting a few more touches out on that left wing.
Yeah, he said he's definitely a holder. I could be talked into selling him if I had other cheapies. Like there's going to be people out there who own Perdue who didn't play this week. There's going to be people who own Toya, Tamale, Hiroti, who are three guys we're going to talk about soon. It could just be a case of odd man out. We mentioned Herbie Farmworth, Jacob Kiraz, Dylan Lucas is potentially coming back next week. Like I could understand if people moved him on.
Yeah, it's a tough one though, isn't it? Like Tamale before the weekend was the clear sell. Out of those that you mentioned, and probably Toya, it only takes one big game from these players. And I suppose you really want to be super confident on who you're bringing in for any of these people that you're trading out. I think it's a bit different to the likes of Arthur's, et cetera, that we talked about. I just think that all of them are holds. And you just need to work out. Yeah, it's a tough position for people to be.
Well, let's get into the Roosters now. And let's start then, Cheese, with a couple of those Roosters outside backs. I think you've segued nicely for us. Robert Toya had 58 points after crossing for his first try of his NRL career. He's going to make 30K this week. His break-even's going to be back into the low 20s. The big thing is, Tubes, another man, pod player, Marky Mark at 72 with a try assist. The big question is, who's going to drop out of this Roosters backline? Because they have Billy Smith returning next week from suspension. It's either going to be Billy Smith himself misses out. It could be Mark Nwangani Tuase, aka Marky Mark, as I just called him, misses out. Could be Robert Toya who misses out. Could be Dom Young. I guess if Toya is the odd man out, are you still happy to trade him with that low break even, or do you hold on to him because you know he's next man up?
I don't know. I think I just have to wait and see what happens. Like, we'll find out tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Like, I think he looked good. I think he's looked good all year. And we just wait and see. Clearly, I mean, if he's not playing, I'd still potentially hold for a couple of weeks because they have a nice origin run, the Roosters. But if he's not named and you want to sell someone, you'd be selling him first off.
All right, well, a couple of the more consistent Roosters. Connor Watson had an 86. I mean, he's just clearly the best hooker in Supercoach 2025. And I think the people who already own him, and he's well-owned, they are just in such a good position now because the other two good options were Harry Grant and Max Platt. They were the two other clear premiums. And they're both gone, and those people have no one to trade to. And like we mentioned at the top of the show, it's hard to trade to Connor Watson. He played 75 minutes, 65 at hooker, 10 of that was spent at lock, and busted out an 86. I'm pretty envious, Tubes.
Yeah, me too. So annoying because that was the toss-up, the preseason, Watson v. Plath, that sort of dual hooker, second row forward. You and I both went Plath. And Watson's now one out with the Plath injury. But, yeah, what else do you say? He looks unbelievable. He should play Origin, and I look forward to supporting him when he's a New South Wales Blues this year.
Yeah. Well, Naff White was back this week. 12,000 owners lost patience with him after he had a 37 last week. He bounced back in a big way. 76 points in base plus power. It was his biggest minute game of the year. He played 65 minutes, first time he's gone more than about 55 this year. And he looked really good again. So I think for those people who were patient with him, knew he wasn't going to be playing Origin, was going to be relevant for the Roosters over that period because the Roosters have a great draw, I guess just well done. Well done for the ones who are patient.
Yeah, and Nat Butcher had a HIA, so that probably inflated his minutes. But in saying that, Lindsay Collins is still out for a while. He's going to have to be the man that steps up in that pack and playing front row. So, he looked good. Looked good for Supercoach and the Roosters.
All right, on to the next game, Chiefs, the Titans versus the Raiders. And we're going to start with the Raiders here. They have a lot of guys who are Supercoach relevant, some who are on their way out, some who are still just absolutely firing hot. But we just have to start with Hudson Young, a.k.a. Podson Young, as he's been called on the podcast with Baller for a long time. He had 126 points with two tries. He became the first forward since Steve Menzies to score a double 3 weeks in a row. He's going up 100K this week. He's going to be over $800,000. And I guess the only downside is if you're one of the 6% who owns him, I think he's a big threat to play Origin now.
Yeah.
You just can't bring him in, can you?
It's like deja vu. We had this same conversation last week. But no, you can't bring him in. He looks super hungry to get the ball and basically just looks like a try-scoring threat every time they're down in the red zone.
What about, did you know he launched his own supplements brand end of last year? Coming into this year, he's made a big push, Young Supplements.
No, I did not. Have you had a look?
When I was putting in the info for the pod today, there's one sitting in my basket currently from Young Supplements, Away Protein. If I hadn't known he was launching his supplement company, what's in these things? I might have gone harder at him. It's like he's trying to prove a big business point. Look how fit and strong he can be with Young Supplements. Not a bad way to launch it.
Mm. Might need to put his Supercoach average like in the tagline.
Yeah, all right. Well, I just think he's out. He's too expensive now, Tubes. So I guess you hope he comes back down, but he might not come back down too much. He's looking that good. We spoke about a little bit, Tubes, before we spoke about Robert Toya. Hot Tamale, he came back. He had 89. He had a try. His base was back. His base is so weird. Like, it's some weeks it's really, really strong. Other weeks it's really, really low. I've noticed a bit with him, too, is if he can get a try or an early good touch, like a line break or a good early run, it just really seems to get his confidence going. If he has one good moment early, it ticks him into a big game. Nearly 10,000 sold him this week, but he's going to be going back up in a big way.
Yeah, I was one of those 10,000. So, yeah, good times.
Good times.
Look good. I agree. Like, it's sort of like those that sold Purdue earlier in the season, maybe not to that level of extreme, but it doesn't take that much for these players to pop off. But I agree, it does seem like he needs something to bring him into the game. I still don't think he's a long-term hold with Glue Hands, Strange, Hudson, and Chris outside of him. I don't even know how he scored the try on the weekend. Was it like a clear 3-on-1 and somebody had to pass him the ball or something like that? Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah. Look, he looked good. I'm happy I held. I still would never feel confident. I'd never feel confident playing him is the only thing I would say. What about you? Pop-off is coming into your vocabulary in a big way this year. You love pop-offs. You use it more than like a 10-year-old to describe their farts. One of the biggest pop-off guys in the business at the moment, I reckon. Alexander Popoff. That's a 1990s swimming reference for those people who are Olympics fans in the 90s and 2000s. Corey Horsburgh Tubes. I know a few people sold him. Matt, obviously head honcho of the podcasting arm of Baller, sold Corey Horsburgh this week, and he had 53 points in 48 minutes. And it kind of does look now that this might be the set rotation. He's been around that 3 weeks in a row now. He's made over 200K for the year, but his break-even has now settled in at about his price. What do you make of the horse?
I stopped listening when you called Matt the head honcho of the Baller podcast. Just because you're a host of the main pod doesn't make you a head honcho.
He's the host of the second main pod.
Yeah, that's better. what were you talking about? Horsburgh. I don't know. Like, him and Nicholson both didn't didn't get as many minutes as what you would be hoping.
Nicholson played 80.
Oh, did he?
So he got significantly good minutes compared to what
Well,
I was
there you go.
For.
So who else missed out on their minutes then?
So that's I wrote this a bit in the if you cast your eyes tubes to the Nicholson area of the spreadsheet, you'll be able to be on board with what I'm saying. But Morgan Smithies, Josh Papali'i, and Adam Mariota were the main ones who seemed impacted by Zach Hosking's return this week. They really dipped. Corey Horsburgh stayed about the same. Nicholson still played 80, and those other three saw big drops in minutes. So I thought going into this week that Matty Nicholson was going to be the one who was impacted in a big way. He still had that combined role. He spent time on the middle, time on an edge. I'm still not confident that's going to be there next week with Ricky Roulette, but Matty Nicholson has a low break even still because he had a try to finish off last week. 43 points this week, but I don't think he's a trade yet if the minutes are staying at 80.
Yeah, I think you've thrown me just with this head honcho comment and I've missed miscalculated. I thought with 43 he must have had less minutes, but Horse 48, he's definitely on the bubble now to sell. I don't think you can feel confident playing Nicholson, as you said, just because Ricky and like there's too many good forwards to go around, as you were just saying. So I think it's good for Nicholson owners, but I don't think you can confidently play in your 17.
No, I want to take a look and see what happens next week. But his break-even is still manageable, so owners can get another look in. Tubes for the Titans, like with Fifita going down, Jaden Campbell going down, there's not that much really to talk about from Tubes as Titans. They're becoming a less relevant team. I mean, Tino had 69 points in 66 minutes. Bo Fermor back on the edge had 63 with a try, rewarded all the Bo Leavers who held on to him, the 4% of us. There's dozens of us Tubes of Bo Leavers out there. And AJ Brimson at 46 with a try and a try assist. Anything you want to unpack from the Titans?
Not really. I'm just waiting for Kieran Foran to come back so AJ goes back to fullback. There's really not much happening there at all. It's unfortunate Campbell's gone because it's sort of ruined them. I think it's going to ruin their mojo a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think it's also ruined your chances of having Brimson go back to fullback for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Because I just assume that if Foran comes back in, it's for Weaver. Like, I wouldn't feel great with a Foran Weaver halves pairing. It doesn't excite me. I think they need a little bit of X factor in there, but we'll see. All right, let's get on to the next game with your Sharkies up against the Newcastle Knights. We've already spoken about Nicho Hynes, so let's get into the most traded player of the round. Nearly 40,000 super coaches got him. Maweni Hiroti, who got a late junk try to get him to nearly 80 points. He's now going to make over 120K, and he's still going to have a big negative break-even of nearly minus 30. I think the Hiroti owners are pretty happy, Tubes.
Oh, I think they're all ecstatic. Producer Crackers just, what did he send a message saying, He was a great trade in Hiroti and a great play option for this week. It's like that was very good to let everyone know that just after the game had finished and Hiroti scored 80. But I think everyone's happy. I think those that didn't buy, like myself, was more on the news potential for Iro to come back. So look, I'm not going to be unhappy really unless he ends up completely popping off and holding his spot in the side somehow and playing sort of through to round 12 or 13. But yeah, a very good one for owners because he definitely was a very playable option this week. As I said before, I didn't get to watch much of the Sharks Knights game, so I've sort of only really looked at the stats. But his base looked good again, as well as the try late.
Yeah, AFB, 76 points with a try. He's still 21% owned, AFB. Feels like he's not discussed really much at all this year, but 21% owned. And I thought, oh, maybe that's lower-end super coaches. He's actually 14% owned by the top 1%. So there's a lot of good super coaches out there with AFB. 76 points with a try, rewarded them. Let's get into the Knights, who despite being probably the worst team in the NRL over the last 4 weeks, are still plenty relevant when it comes to super coach perspective. And Greg Marju, 20% of teams. He had 138 points with a try and a try assist. He had 21 tackle busts, 42 points in tackle bus is an absolute outrage. He is still going to be a manageable price. He's going to be around 570K after this week, but he is going to have a break even now of -5. So it's a bit of a tough choice for non-owners this week. His form has been shaky. The Knights look terrible. Jeeves, you are a non-owner. What do you make of the situation?
I'd like to not bring him in. I'd like to lay him. I own Ponga, and I think you have to hold Ponga. They have such a nice run coming up, and that makes it hard for me to feel comfortable laying Greg, being and having Ponga and cheering. I want to cheer them both. But the decision is going to be next week, isn't it? Like, if you don't get him next week, you're not getting him just about. Yep. So, it will be an interesting one. I'll be pondering it all week. 21 tackle breaks is ridiculous. Like, I'd love to find out what is the record for number of tackle breaks in a game, particularly from an outside back. Like, that's just, He certainly shored up a lot of people that might have not had good rounds otherwise. Like 138 for a centre wing is so good.
Completely saved me, basically, Marju. Like, my weekend was in big trouble without him, that 138. And you mentioned Ponga tubes. Man, how frustrating is the Ponga situation? He's now going to lose another 90K. People can pick him up for under $600,000. It's Kalyn Ponga. It's one of the best fullback options. The only thing that's ever stopped in the past has been head injuries. And now this Knights attack is just limping along. He's going to have a break even over 100. He's in 35% of Supercoach teams. If I didn't own him, I'd have to be taking a look at how cheap he is. If I was someone who owned Walsh, you would have to take a look at Ponga this week at that price.
And I think you have to bring him in. What's happened? Like, it's almost as though They had the bye round four, right? They had the first three games of the season. Ponga looked unbelievable, but you could say their attack wasn't looking as good as it could look. It's almost like they've come off that bye with a new structure of attack, which just doesn't revolve around KP as much. And then it's been to their detriment. They've gone, 3 weeks in a row with scoring. Well, they went a couple of weeks without scoring a try, and then this week they scored a few, but really, like, they weren't from any great attacking structure.
Oh, and two of them when the game is over too.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on, because even when I watch some of the game, it doesn't feel like they're not set. Like, if I was coaching the Knights, my game plan would be set up my attack to put KP in as many good positions as possible, especially when we're in the red zone. And that seems to be the opposite of what they're doing. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it sucks. I thought he was going to be such a good hold when a lot of people sold him when they had their buy, and now it just turns out that the sellers have absolutely nailed it, and they're probably going to pick him up at under 600K, and if he does get to go on a run, they're going to be rewarded by it. One bloke who hasn't been impacted at all, choose by the Knights going poorly, is Fletcher Sharp, who scored an 85 on the weekend. He had a try off a Marju assist, which was unbelievable. Under 600K, he's a pretty good option. I just think the thing is that a lot of people are going to be owning Marju. They're going to be owning Ponga. Dylan Lucas is coming back on the radar next week. A lot of people own Thomas Cant, who had a 56 on the weekend. I just don't think I can bring in Fletcher Sharp if I already own Marju and Ponga and I'm looking at Lucas. Can't do it.
No, I think you have to let him go through the keeper if you're not an owner already. He's a nice pod option, though.
And, yeah, quickly on Thomas Cant, he had 56, going up another 45K. But I think if Dylan Lucas comes back in and he's dropped to the bench, you get to take a look at his role for a week with a low break even, and then it might be time to move on. All right, let's get into the final game of the round, Tubes. You mentioned at the start there's not heaps of relevance from these teams, so we'll race through this one a little bit. But Mitchie Moses returned, had a 94, again, irrelevant with Origin coming up. Iyongi looked really good again. He had a 75. He's now, in the last weeks, he's had 100 and a 75. He scored two tries. He was impacted by a sin bin, but he looked really good again. So well done to the 52% of super coaches who have stayed patient with him. Dillbags, who I know is going to be a popular and already has been a popular bring-in from Jaden Campbell and will continue to be so, even though they have the bye next week. He had a 55. He looked great early, but kind of slowed down a bit where Mitchie really took over and ran the show. And Riley Smith Tubes, who I think you and I are completely different ends of the spectrum with. You can't stand him. I really like him. He had 37 with a try contribution and a goal. He had 7 missed tackles, which isn't great. Anything from Parramatta that you want to speak about further?
I just don't see how you can bring in Riley Smith. He's played 80 minutes. I know that it's dire in the hooking options at the moment, but he's done this every week. Like, he's scoring like low 30s. He's kicked a goal and had a try contribution this week and still only got 37 points. I know he missed 7 tackles, but he'd been averaging like 3.5 missed tackles a game. And this is the first time he plays 80 and he misses 7. Not for me, I don't think.
I understand why he's not. I think part of it for me is eye test. I actually like the look of him as an NRL player. So that's weighing on me a little bit. Like, that's I'm not stressed about it, but that's persuading me a little bit. I do think enough is a seriously big option as well, if maybe not going him. So it's just someone I'm looking at. I'm not definitely bringing him in. From the Tigers' perspective, Terrell May, with his effective ownership up over 100%, and he got 101 points with a try. He played all 80 minutes for the Tigers, looked absolutely incredible. The only thing that could stop him is potentially State of Origin, and that's not going to stop him from a real-life footy perspective, just from a Supercoach one for a little bit. The Tigers' halves, Tubes, there's a lot of chatter about them coming this week. Adam Dewey had a 34. He got 12 points from goals. Jerome Luai had 38 points with 2 assists, so 24 points from try assists. I don't think you can look at bringing in either of them if you don't own.
Nah, none of them are options now for Galvin owners or Jaden Campbell sellers. I don't think it's not a given Mitch Moses plays Origin. I know it's all a bit speculative, but he wasn't goal kicking today. He still had 90 odd points. He looked very good. I think you could think about bringing him in. Like him and Cleary both playing in the halves together in Origin. I don't know. I think Luai, it's still Luai's spot to lose.
I think it will be Mitchie and Cleary, personally. I think Mitch was way too good last year. Like, he was the best player for New South Wales in the whole series, and you can't not pick Cleary. So I think they're just going to pick them both and see if it works. And next week, Parramatta have the bye. So I just think, looking at Mitchie, you miss him next week, then he plays 9, 10, 11, and then I'm assuming he's going to be out of the team. So time will tell, Chews, but that's where I think they'll end up going.
He did look very good today, though. Like, he was. His kicking game is just one of the best in the comp. And, yeah, it was good to see him back.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into our final segment now, Tubes. It's Little Black Book. Who are you going to jot down into your Little Black Book this week?
Oh, yeah, mine, same game as my Ready to Explode, but different side of the of the ledger. I've gone the Broncos, now back rower, Xavier Willison. So a couple of things I just sort of jotting down here. One, he played 62 minutes on the left edge for the Broncos. Hunt went back to the bench, which I thought was interesting. I thought he looked pretty decent. It was a very wet night, so that 37 was all base and power. No sort of attacking upside, but he is he's a big, strong ball runner. Like, if he does play 62 minutes on that left edge in that Broncos attack, I think he's in for some attacking upside. The other thing I thought that was noteworthy to look at was Corey Pakes was named at hooker. He then went to the bench. So Billy Walters started at hooker and played, I think they sort of shared duties. Billy Walters played 46 minutes. Pakes played 36 minutes. And then Tyson Smoothie, who's also a hooker, I believe, was named on the bench as well and played 21 minutes. So he must have played a little bit through the middle. So it sort of left Jensen as Hunt and Hunt as their only two forward rotations on the bench. So it saw Pat Carrigan play 80 minutes. So it was just a very interesting thing to jot down that Broncos forward rotation. And I think if the winner ends up being Xavier Willison, on the edge, then he'll be a potential premium option.
I like it. And you know he's going to be in for big minutes over the Origin period too, because they're going to lose Payne and Carrigan. So I don't mind it, Tubes. I like that one. You picked up something that I had completely missed. So well done. My little black book for this week is Tyrone Wishart. I just think with Harry Grant's injury, I think there's a chance that he starts at hooker and that he plays big minutes at hooker. He's coming in under 400K. And he's one of these guys who's just been relevant whenever he gets big minutes. He's just such an active player. Like, he loves to get the ball and run. And you know, if he's going to be playing hooker, he will be taking runs at the line. You can pick him up for under 400K. And his break even's in the 50s. So we don't have to rush. We do get a week to kind of have a look at see what this hooker rotation is going to be like between him and Bronson Garlick now that they've had a bit more time to plan for it. So he's one. He's available at 5'8", very importantly, with Jaden Campbell going down. He's one that I'll be taking a look at and seeing how those minutes pan out.
Mm. It was funny. I was laughing when you said that because I'm pretty sure he was his first time picking up the ball at hooker on the weekend when he finally came on the field, he ran. Like, it was just – I was like, oh, here's Wishart. He's on the field. Oh, there he goes.
He loves it.
Yeah.
He's one of these blokes that other podcasts might call him. He's a footballer. Wishart, he's a footballer. You get him in there, he's going to take on the line. Tubes, that pretty much brings us out to a close this week. We might get a little slap on the wrist because we've gone up over the hour mark by 5 minutes. But another plug for the league code, the Unlimited League for SC Baller is 730444. That's 730444. Make sure you jump in and see how you can go. Tubes, tomorrow is going to be the Tuesday Teamless Show. So it's a quick turnaround this week. I know that we're going to have Matt, Dan and Chris joining and running through all the big team changes and going through the hooker position, the 5'8 position for those popular options to bring in pretty dire positions. I'm sure they're going to give us great insight. They're all super highly ranked and running hot, so going to be good to hear from them. Tubes, anything else to close us out?
You beauty.